I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 21. Now, the Christmas songs that we've been looking at continue. We've looked at the song of Mary, the song of Zechariah, and now we're jumping forward a little bit to look at the song of Simeon. Now, this is about a week, 8 days after Christ was born. So this is after the shepherds received the announcement from the angel and ran to Bethlehem. This is when Mary and Joseph are coming to the temple. Now, we're going to be looking at the angel's song this coming Christmas morning. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This morning we look at Simeon's song. Before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, and as we open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will fill us with your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know you better, may know the hope to which you have called us, the richness of your glorious inheritance in your saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, those of you who are parents can probably remember all of the things that you did to get ready for the birth of your children. You wanted to do everything right by the book. You may have even read what to expect when you're expecting. Getting the nursery ready, the baby showers, the baby clothes. And once the baby comes, then comes the feedings and the burpings and the changing. Most parents do everything that they can to care for their children. Caring for them physically, clothing and feeding, doctor visits, what percentile are they at? Mentally, learning, school, education, emotionally, showing them love and support and encouragement. But the most important thing that we as parents can do for our children is spiritual. In our passage this morning, we get just a glimpse of Mary and Joseph taking care of Jesus after he is born. Mary and Joseph are trying to do everything by the book, according to God's word. According to the law is mentioned 5 different times in our passage. Circumcised on the 8th day, giving him the name Jesus, bringing him to Jerusalem, presenting him to the Lord, offering a sacrifice. And even in that sacrifice, they're offering 2 doves, which shows their poverty. You're supposed to offer a lamb and a dove, unless you're too poor and you can't afford that. And as they're in the temple, they meet Simeon, who has been waiting for this moment. It has been revealed to him that he's not going to die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And Simeon responds with this song of praise. Now the theme that we've seen throughout Luke, again and again and again, is that first of all God says it, and then God does it, and then his people respond in praise because of what he's done. So you have promise, fulfillment, and response. God had made his promise to Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the consolation of Israel, which means the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And then God kept his promise. Simeon proclaims, my eyes have seen your salvation. He takes him in his arms. And then he responds with praise, blessing God for what he has done. And like Simeon, God has made promises to us as his people as well. And he has kept those promises. And so we respond. What is true is that God keeps his promises. And what's required is our response of praise. As Simeon responds, he's praising and he is blessing God for what he has done. And like the song of Mary, like the song of Zechariah, Simeon's song, we see promise leading to fulfillment and this response of praise. You could almost describe Simeon's song as a doxology because he is praising God for the great things that he has done. So what is Simeon singing about? Well, first of all, now you are dismissing. Secondly, my eyes have seen your salvation. And third and finally, a light for revelation and for glory. First, now you are dismissing. Right from the very beginning, Lord, verse 29, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Now, why would Simeon begin this song of praise by singing about being ready to die? Typically, you would keep that at the end. You would praise, sing the entire song, and now I'm ready to depart in peace. But he starts his song by saying, now I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die now. I'm ready to depart in peace. Now, the answer to that question comes by looking at the structure, how Luke has structured Simeon's song and the narrative leading up to his song. I don't know if you would call it a chiasm where you work from the outside and the main point is in the middle. But there is a structure to what Luke is doing here. Verse 25, you start out with verse 25, and here it's talking about Simeon's character, and it's describing Simeon individually. He's righteous, and he's devout. That's the first step. And then it tells us, secondly, that Simeon is waiting. Here's the promise. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ, verse 25. And then you get the next step, that it has been revealed to him. The promise is that he's not going to die before he sees the Lord's Christ. So at that point, we've taken our three steps. And what is the first thing that Simeon sings about? Dismiss me with your presence. I can depart in peace. Why? Because next, he has seen the salvation, the consolation of Israel. My eyes have seen your salvation, verse 30. And then you end his song with verse 31 and 32. We go from individual Simeon to a promise and fulfillment that is now presented to all peoples, Gentiles and Israel, God's people. Simeon's song begins with these words of leaving or dismissal. That's why in Latin it's called nunc dimittis, which means now you are dismissing. And he begins his song by referring to his final departure. Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. Now I can die in peace, he's singing. Here we have this righteous man, Simeon. A godly man who's waiting, looking forward to anticipating the consolation of Israel, which means he's waiting and he's looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. He's waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. The promise, verse 25, of the consolation of Israel. Something is going to happen and he's going to be there when it does. Now, how long has Simeon been waiting? Has he been waiting his entire life? Oh, we don't know the answer to that question. He's just described as waiting. What would a life of waiting look like? A life of hoping and anticipation, looking forward to something more, a promise that is coming. I mean, boys and girls, we can hardly wait a few days until we get those presents this week. Think about waiting an entire life for a promise that has been given. The consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel, which is the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. Simeon is waiting for the prophecy of Isaiah 40 to be fulfilled. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Simeon lived his life holding on to the promise, believing this promise of God that Israel is going to be comforted. And now he is holding this promise in his arms. Now, as we think about what this means for us, what are the promises that God has given to you? What does God tell you in his word? Because we today are holding on to the same promise that Simeon had, that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And in the same way, we are looking forward to the day when Christ will come, when those promises will be fulfilled, when Jesus returns. And isn't that what our lives are supposed to be about? I mean, look at how Simeon is described. He's described as righteous, devout, and waiting. Would you and I be content if that was the description of our life? If that's what our obituary someday had written out, or maybe on our headstone, that he was righteous, devout, and waiting for Christ. Our lives should be lived in waiting and anticipation for Christ's return. And we see that Simeon had lived his life holding on to God's promise of the Messiah. the comfort of his people, that he's not going to die before he's seen the Lord's Christ. And now he can say with confidence, Lord, let your servant depart in peace according to your word. And this promise that meant so much for Simeon is our promise as well. And the only time anyone is able to die with this peace, to die in peace, is when they know their salvation is in Jesus Christ. We live in the waiting and in the comfort of the holding on to Christ our Savior, and we're only ready to die in peace when we realize our salvation is in Christ alone. What is your only comfort in life and in death? What is your only peace? Now you are letting your servant depart in peace. That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. That's Simeon's first verse, but the song continues. Second verse, my eyes have seen your salvation. Verse 30 and 31, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Now, as we look at this Song of Simeon, John Calvin used the Song of Simeon after the Lord's Supper. So every time John Calvin celebrated the Lord's Supper, they would sing the Song of Simeon. Now, our own order of worship, our Dutch Reformed worship, extends all the way back to the Reformation itself and taps into John Calvin. While Calvin was ministering to the French Huguenots refugees in Strasbourg from 1538 to 1541, his order of worship was communion, Lord's Supper, and then after they celebrated the Lord's Supper, they sang Nunc Dimittis, Song of Simeon. And then the benediction was last. After that, Calvin's back in Geneva, 1562, similar order of worship. Distribution of the elements, Lord's Supper. Then they had a prayer of thanksgiving or a psalm of thanksgiving. And then it was the Song of Simeon, Nunc Dimittis. And then last was the benediction, parting blessing. So what is it about this song? What is it about Simeon's song that makes it so fitting to use right after the Lord's Supper? John Calvin explains, from this song, it is sufficiently evident that Simeon looked at the Son of God with different eyes from the eyes of flesh. For the outward beholding of Christ could have produced no feeling but contempt, or at least would never have imparted such satisfaction to the mind of the holy man as to make him joyful and desirous to die. So Jesus isn't much to look at as an infant. Calvin's saying there's more going on here than just Simeon seeing a little baby. The Spirit of God enlightened his eyes by faith to perceive under a mean and poor dress or an infant baby the glory of the Son of God. My eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen is a common expression throughout Scripture, but here Simeon uses it specifically to refer to the bodily appearance of Christ. As if he had said that now he has seen the Son of God in the flesh, on whom the eyes of faith and of his mind had previously been fixed. Now he's seeing it in person for real. If Simeon could now die in peace after he had seen Jesus, before Jesus had even accomplished salvation. So he was born, but he still had the rest of his life and death and resurrection and ascension to accomplish. And Simeon can die in peace before Christ has accomplished anything. How much more is the peace that we have today, this side of redemption? It is finished. It is accomplished. In other words, Simeon saw Jesus as a baby and he was ready to die in peace before Christ had accomplished anything other than being born. How much greater is our peace and comfort today as we look back to redemption accomplished, completed, finished in Christ. And that's what we're celebrating this morning as we come to the table together. Christ no longer dwells on earth. We're not carrying him in our arms like Simeon was. But his divine majesty shines openly and brightly in the gospel. And there do we all, as Paul says, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Not as formerly a mist with the weakness of a flesh, but in the glorious power of the Spirit. We must be careful. We need to carefully observe that the very powerful and the entire force of the sacrament lies in the words, which is given for you, which is shed for you. The distribution of the body and blood of the Lord today would not benefit us unless they had once for all been given for our redemption and salvation. Where is Jesus right now? Physically speaking, where is Jesus? Well, he's at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And it might seem unbelievable or even impossible that Christ's flesh comes to us, is present with us in this supper, that it becomes our food, that we are nourished by it. But we need to also keep in mind and remember the power of the Holy Spirit who is making this happen. It's beyond our understanding, and that's why it doesn't make sense. John Calvin says, what then our mind does not comprehend, let faith conceive that the Spirit truly unites things separated in space. And he's talking about us and Christ. And that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Simeon is physically seeing and holding Jesus and declaring, my eyes have seen your salvation. How do we today see God's promises fulfilled? Simeon got to see and hold baby Jesus. He got to see God's salvation. And we today get to see God's salvation, which he has prepared in the sight of all of us, all his people, in the bread and in the wine of communion. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Christ is present with us, his body and his blood, by the power of the Holy Spirit. My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. And that leads us third and finally to the last verse of this song, a light for revelation and for glory. My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. So you go from all peoples to specifically a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. You have gotten your salvation ready. You have prepared this salvation in front of and before, in the presence of all people. Not Jews only, not just Jews, but also Gentiles. A light of revelation for the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel, for the purpose for which Christ was to be exalted by the Father before all nations. Those walking in darkness have seen a great light, a light to the Gentiles and a light to your people Israel. Now here we have the good news for all nations. You can think of the promise given to Abraham, all nations, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, by you. And that's what we have going on in the Song of Simeon. Now, it is very rare, as we look at this final verse, it's very rare to see Gentiles and Jews, or Gentiles and Israelites, mentioned positively together. So that's a very rare thing. It's usually Jews and Gentiles in contrast to each other. So it's very rare to have Jews and Gentiles, Gentiles and Israelites, mentioned positively together. And even rarer to have Gentiles mentioned first, followed by God's people, Israel. But that's exactly what Simeon is singing about here. First is mentioned the Gentiles, and we have him tapping in to a truth that is often overlooked, that Israel wasn't the dead end of God's revelation, but rather Israel, God's people, was the conduit of God's revelation to all of humanity. Psalm 98, our call to worship this morning, and Psalm of Assurance, the Lord has made his salvation known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. You have Isaiah prophesying about this moment. I am the Lord. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. Isaiah 49, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Here we have Simeon, he's taking the gospel and he's making it global. Here we have the Great Commission at the beginning of Christ's life. All peoples, Gentiles, Israelites. The salvation that God provides in Jesus is for all peoples. My eyes have seen the salvation of God that he has prepared in the presence of all people. He came for Gentiles as much as he came for Jews. Here we have the foundation for outreach worldwide, sharing the good news of salvation. We have Christ as the light of the world, the salvation from the darkness of sin. Simeon's not done here. Because as he continues on, after his song, he says something profound to Mary. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. Verse 35, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. The sword that will pierce through Mary's soul is Christ's death, his sacrifice for sin. And so with this prophecy, Simeon just took us from a Christmas song to an Easter song. This is why Christ has come. This is why he was born. This is God's promise to save his people. And as we move from Jesus' birth to the rest of his life and his death and his resurrection, which ultimately fulfill this prophecy, ultimately for our salvation, for our comfort, for our peace, a sign and a seal of God's promises, something for us to see, to remind us that this salvation is for real, seeing the salvation of our God, leaving in peace and in comfort. This is my body, this is my blood, which is given for you. Can you see it? Can you taste it? Can you smell it? Because just as real is God's salvation for you. Lord, now you are letting your servants depart in peace according to your word. For our eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to us Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as you have promised, you now dismiss us, your servants, in peace. Our eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one we sing about. He is the one we celebrate. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.